This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 149 of What Did You Watch This Week. My name is Mike.
My name is John.
I did a normal voice for you.
My name is Earl.
That was a great show.
It was.
That was a great show. Did you watch stuff?
I did. Jew?
Not as much as I tried to. The internet was down at work.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
You had to do your job?
I did.
The fuck?
I did my job anyways, but I mean... So I couldn't catch up on the CW shows with them on in the background. Like, that was my plan. And then I went to Canada for the night to get my son a Nexus card. So that took up, you know, watching time. And I was in Canada, so I mean, you know, watched Peppa Pig. Because there was one TV in our Airbnb, and it was like a 19-inch television.
You did an Airbnb for one night?
Yeah. Yeah, it was cheaper than any hotel. We got this Airbnb in St. Stephen, New Brunswick. It was a three-bedroom, two-bath, two-story, entire house to ourselves. You know, washer, dryer, kitchen, like full kitchen, whole yada, yada, yada. $76 for the night. American. $76 for the night. Yeah.
How many cameras did you find?
Zero.
Did you look?
No.
Because the way you said it, it sounds like zero. There were no cameras. Ask a little deeper. Did you look?
No.
Okay.
They got nothing good. I'll leave it at that. Anyhow, but yeah, no, it was cheaper than any hotel in the area. So, oh, and then it was a friggin' holiday called Family Day, which is apparently a new holiday they celebrate. It was President's Day here in the States on Monday, and it was Family Day there. It's a new holiday they celebrate over there, and everything was closed. Like, grocery stores, like, restaurants.
It's a day to be with your family?
Dude, the Chinese restaurant was closed.
Awesome.
Right?
Awesome.
The only thing that wasn't was, like, the A&W, you know, Irving Circle K, and Pizza Delight. Everything was closed.
Damn. It's a shitty trip.
Right? So, anyhow, they were like, well, you could probably go over to, there's some restaurants over in Calais you could probably go check out. I'm like, I came to Canada for a reason. So, whatever. It was still fun. It was nice to be away. So, I didn't watch as much as I'd like to, but I did watch a few shows.
Okay. What'd you watch?
New Amsterdam.
Yeah.
The one with the...
Adderall therapy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was handled pretty well. I like Tyler Levine's character.
I do like his style. He's like, hey, you're free to go. And then she's like, right back.
You're cleared for work.
Yeah. Were you really going to let me work in the ED? Oh, God, no. Not a drug addict like you. Like,
no.
The way he said it afterwards.
Exactly.
You know? But she had to make that decision on her own. So it was a decent episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Max is hiring all the useless people to go head up their satellite clinic.
That was kind of cool. Like, at first he, like, had to figure, he got a list of people, then he figured out what to do with them.
Right. Basically, people who were disillusioned with their jobs, or they'd been in the same useless job for years and years and years, like, just collecting a paycheck.
Right. Like, the x-ray tech. You need an x-ray printed? When's the last time someone got a printed x-ray from you? like, 2 years ago? So what do you do? Just show up and sit here and wait and see what happens. I mean, like, could you imagine, like, being at a workplace that is so large that you get lost in the shuffle like that, that, like, literally nobody notices what you're doing? Or, like, the parking attendant.
Milton.
Yeah, Milton.
Milton from Office Space.
Yeah, the parking attendant. He's like, well, now they get the automatic gate. I just sit in that chair.
Yep.
Okay. That's crappy in the winter. But, yeah, I mean... The show doesn't blow me away by any means, but it's decent.
Yep.
The only reason why I watch it, and I'm pretty sure it's the only reason why you watch it, is because, you know, Elizabeth's ex there, Tom Keene's in it.
Yeah.
I started watching it because of him.
And I don't have a reason not to watch it at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. So I was a little annoyed because I was trying to get caught up on The Passage when I found out the internet wasn't working at work.
Oh, so you haven't watched it then?
I think I managed to, from the last time I recorded, because it's Tuesday, and I think from the last time I recorded, I did watch another episode.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of what it was about. Because the most recent one that was on, like...
Last night
I did not watch, but I watched last week's How You Gonna Outrun the End of the World title of it. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't, because the last episode I saw was when the black vampire guy snapped, killed the lab attendant, and then the other doctor got blood on his face.
So they've quarantined him?
Okay, I didn't see that.
So you're a couple episodes
behind. So I am, too. Never mind. So I caught up to
you're
that.
You're three episodes behind.
No, that's called, no, there's only been two since then.
Well, unless there wasn't one last night.
There was one on the 11th and the 18th. I saw the one on the 4th.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the one on the 11th and then last night the 18th.
Okay.
All right. So, okay, I did not get to watch it then.
Yeah, spoiler alert, he's quarantined.
I figured as much.
Very interesting revelation in that episode.
Yeah.
I won't say anything, but it was good. and they're doing some interesting experiments with trying to use thought probes.
Yep.
Little electrodes on the side of their head to control the vampires, since the vampires obviously have this, you know, the psychic thing where they can go into dreams and stuff. Yeah, it's interesting to watch how that plays out. Also, excuse me, not this most recent episode, but the one before that, has one of the coolest things, the female doctor there, the one who, you know, is trying to do the experiments and stuff, she has a really cool... thing that she does. I won't say more than that, but when you get to it, we'll talk about it. But okay. Yeah, she got some cool points in my book. Or at least the writers did.
Okay. I unfortunately was not able to watch The Orville.
Oh!
Yeah, that was upsetting, actually.
That is upsetting.
I love that show, and it was back, and it came back, and again, it was Friday night and Saturday night while I was at work. The internet was down, and I just... didn't have the chance to watch him otherwise.
I need to talk a little bit about it.
Feel free.
I'll be vague about it. I won't do spoilers. But what's interesting is this is another episode that deals with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with the Mocklin Society.
Hey, you know, the Mocklins, I enjoy those episodes.
Well, it was interesting because it's dealing with more of their traditions that you don't know about until you watch this episode.
Sweet.
And Ed actually makes a comment to Kelly at one point. He's like, you know, with all the stuff that our race is so diametrically opposed to them, it's a wonder we can actually have an alliance with them. And I'm wondering if this is all building towards a possible schism to develop where they become like the Klingons kind of thing. You know, some kind of a...
Something huge would have to happen, though, because they seem to live in such harmony otherwise.
They do, but...
There's a lot of beliefs.
It's a lot of ideological beliefs that are just... They fly right in the face of the way that humans believe. And this episode, like I said, introduces some more. And
interesting.
It was a good episode. It was another one of those where... You think you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, this was a great episode. And you realize you're only halfway through. And you're like, oh my God, there's more to go. But yeah. I'm wondering if that's what they're building towards. If there's going to be some kind of a schism that forms between the Union and the Mocklins.
Well, you know, it's kind of weird because they don't really have that huge storyline. Like, the only major... I mean, like, they have storylines that continue or... you know what I mean? But, like, a lot of shows have a primary storyline that's in the background that's happening, and then they have, like, story of the week episodes, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the Orville doesn't have that. So a Mocklin war or just a issues with the Mocklins would be interesting. And then what would happen to...
Bordis.
Bordis.
Bordis and Clyden and Topaz.
Yeah, Would they stay in the union? Would they have to?
See, this is the sign of a good show, is the fact that I know all the characters' names off the top of my head.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not going like, except for the guy with the weird head down in engineering.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I wanted to say Ed, but that's Ed Mercer, the captain. But
anyways, but I wonder if they would stay with the union. Would they not? I don't know.
Did I tell you that Family Guy recently, it was maybe a month and a half ago, they did an episode where Carter gave Lois a gun for her birthday, and she's like, I don't want this. And of course, Peter was like, oh, a gun, I'm going to... So, like, he would go around shooting things he didn't like, and at one point the TV popped up, and it was like, next time on the Orville, and he shot the TV, and Chris is like, Dad, I thought you liked that show. And this guy, like, it's Peter Griffin, but some other guy's voice comes out of his mouth and goes, I don't like it because it takes away from my time working here on Family Guy.
That's pretty genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we watched Manifest together tonight with the wife.
Next week's the season finale, from what I understand.
Oh, is it?
Keep your fingers crossed it's a series finale. Man. Yes, we don't have to watch this. We're hate-watching it.
I know, we are hate-watching it. But you know what? Even this episode wasn't even good enough to hate-watch.
Like, oh, but it was. It wasn't until the very end when all of the pieces fell into place.
Oh,
and,
God.
And within, what was it, like the last 5 minutes, you had to pause at one point.
Okay.
And we both collectively said, are you fucking kidding me? About a dozen times.
So we watched this whole episode, like literally the first 36 minutes. And we're just kind of like, we can't even riff on it. It's
right.
It's not even good.
Exactly.
It's not even good enough to pick on.
No.
That was, like, that was the funnest part we have about enjoying this show is ripping on the show.
I mean, we did call things like, you know, oh, she's pregnant. Oh, it's going to be Danny's baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, because once again, TV writers are fucking lazy trash and have to say, well, let's introduce a pregnancy. That'll shake things up.
It's just the acting by everybody on this show is just getting worse. And like, there's somebody in the studio that's just like, this is acceptable.
Dude, I saw a thing today where they interviewed the creator of the show, and he's like, we're really hopeful to get a second season.
I think
we're doing good. We've got good numbers. The network seems to like us. Stop.
The dialogue on the show is horrendous. It's just bad.
And it's just cheesy, bad. And it's full of cliches and cheese and...
Yeah. And everyone's like trying to be Mr. Nice Guy, but it's not working. It's not believable.
No.
Like, how... The wife and I, we watch the Waltons a lot, okay? And John Boy Walton has and his whole family are just like the greatest family in the world. And they have this likable, especially John Boy, this likable naivety that he has of being a small city town, a small country boy when he goes to the city and this and that. But it's believable. Like, the fact that this whole family is as nice as they are is somehow believable as you watch the show, it's established, okay? Then you watch something like Manifest, where everybody's like, oh, you need to take care of yourself. Like, everyone's trying to be really likable and supportive and over-the-top, and it's just not believable. Maybe it's because it's the bad acting, maybe it's the bad writing, maybe it's the constantly contradicting each other with... Oh, I'm glad this family's together. We can't lose this family. Oh, I hate you. You need to go. Yes, I'm causing the problems. I'm so happy we're back together. Yeah, me too.
Really?
You just summed up two episodes.
I mean, it's just, it's absurd.
Yeah.
And like,
but then
they've only been back, and this is the thing, is they've only been back less than 6 weeks, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, tonight, we got all kinds of bombshells dropped on us, and they were what-the-fuck bombshells, mostly by the way that people came about their logic.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So the guy who had drowned and then came back and told them about the bomb,
he drowned.
He drowned on dry land, coughed up more water than should have been in his body.
Yeah, like he was going to do a press conference to tell the world about the callings, and they were trying to stop him by using their words.
Because they all kept hearing, stop him, stop him. And then... Cal gets a look at the autopsy report. Ben.
Yeah, and he sees that he died at like 10:59 or 49 or whatever it is, and he just goes, like, panic mode and runs back, and he, like, did the math in his head instantly that he was underwater for 82 hours and 8 minutes, getting 828.
Yeah.
And then from the moment he got pulled out, he only lived 82 hours and 8 minutes, and then he died.
So if that was the case, then he had to look and do the math on, you know, how long they had been gone.
Yeah.
And he did it by just straight weeks. He didn't even do hours or minutes.
He did 237 hours. days. Yeah, 237 days is what he did. Yeah,
and he did all the math, and he came up with June 2nd, 2024 is when they would die.
Right.
But meanwhile, his daughter looked over at the
diorama
she was making and said, "It's been in front of us the whole time.
Yeah.
The peacock is the symbol of Juno.
Yeah.
Juno or June.
And the Gemini constellation, that's two. June 2nd. Oh, maybe it's a mistake. It's not, Mom. Look, wooden dragon.
You remade Cal's wooden dragon.
Yeah.
And the next Chinese zodiac year of the wood dragon is 2024. No Bullshit. Way she would know that off the top of her head.
Nope.
Like, yep. Yes, there are, what, four or five elements that are broken down by the Chinese zodiac. You know, so you could be like I am a wood rabbit. Rather than just the year of the rabbit, based on which of the 4 or 5 year cycle you fall in. So there's no way that she can know that off the top of her head. She's not Rain Man.
Right.
She would have had to look that up. Literally, she would have had to look that up. That would have been like if she had just known off the top of her head the half-life of three different radioactive isotopes.
The next year of the Wood Dragon is February 10th, 2024, to January 25th, 2020. January 28th, 2020.
Yep.
I did look it up.
Oh, I don't doubt that it's real. I absolutely believe that they were right. There's no way she would have that knowledge.
No, she wouldn't, because it's not like it's the wood dragon every time it cycles through.
No.
Because every 12 years, it's the year of the dragon again.
There's fire, earth, water.
Metal, water, wood, yeah.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't, fuck that. But don't worry, because Cal had already drawn tombstones of him and his dad and his aunt's name on them.
Mickey.
Yeah, and Kayla. Then and Michaela.
Michaela.
Excuse me. And then he added June 2nd, 2024 to all of them.
Later. As an afterthought.
When it dawned on him.
It's ridiculous. This show is fucking ridiculous.
That means Captain Caveman also has a time.
Yeah, that's right. About a year.
About a year, yeah. But that's okay, because Michael got shot at the end of it. At least that's the assumption. See, Captain Caveman and Michael's ex-fiance, after he wrecked his marriage, they're fighting in the old Michael's apartment over and a gun gets involved, and a gun's out, and they're struggling with the gun, and she runs in, and then she stops short. And you hear the gun go off. And so it's implied that she was shot. But I think what we're going to see is that her ex-boyfriend was shot. And she froze and like, oh my God. I don't think she got shot. We can't be that lucky. Stupid fucking show.
Yeah. I agree.
So all this crap came at the end that made us, like, I had to pause it to say,
yeah, bullshit.
Because they were just coming up with this bullshit off the top of their head.
Is next week really the finale? I would love it if it was. I don't know.
Wait, hold on. Manifest Creator takes us inside that 10th season finale, poses big questions for season 2. This was the finale?
This was the finale? Oh, man.
What a dick move.
That's a dick move finale.
That is a complete dick move finale.
Oh, and then, of course, she announced that she's pregnant, Ben's wife. And then hopefully, and he's all excited. I mean, he is jacked up excited about this pregnancy. And then he's like, how long have you been pregnant? And she's like, a little over 6 weeks. She's like, yeah, that's like right when we got back. And oh man, then he did some real fast math in his head again. He didn't even need pen and paper for that one either.
Oh, we all had that one figured out.
And it dawned on him that, oh shit,
dude,
I wasn't here when you got knocked up.
Dude, that was the season finale.
That was the season finale. Damn.
Wow.
Man.
What a dick move.
Oh, God. He even says here, Zeke's gun goes off and the episode abruptly ends. It really did. It just flashed up manifest on the screen. I hope this shit gets canceled. I really do.
I do, too.
Although the ratings seem to have gone up. No, they went down.
Good. Fuck them.
The last episode, they went up a little bit. Most like last week's, but anyways.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Anyway.
The Rookie.
Yeah.
Good episode.
Yeah.
A Valentine's Day episode. Now, as a person that's been a public safety dispatcher for the last almost 18 years, I can honestly say Valentine's Day has never been a busy day.
Mm-mm.
Like, there's never even been a notion to me that it's a busy day. But yet, on this show, Valentine's Day
is the worst. Busy
day. The most dangerous day of the year.
Yeah. They literally say that.
Yeah. Really punny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, really punny.
It was a bit predictable, this episode. I got to say, though, the one image, if you asked me for one image that represented this episode,
yeah,
it was the woman stepping out of her car after she hit the telephone pole,
yeah,
and the wire just, like, whipping up, just like Indiana Jones, just whoosh, snapped her right in the chest, and she just went over like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
Damn.
So that happens. A woman gets electrocuted, and she's not happy about it. Nolan saves her. And then she basically starts stalking him.
Yeah.
You know, goes to the police station to bring him, like, muffins, calls it a false report so that he'll respond.
Yeah, of a guy breaking into her house.
Yeah. And essentially what it is
and then she gets invited to his party by becoming the date of his roommate there.
Right. Oh, I met a girl down at the store and blah, blah, blah. And then I like it when Nolan told his roommate about, or the guy that owns the house, hey, this girl's been stalking me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, shit. Well, you probably don't want her loaning your house then. Might want to get her out of here.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't even bothered by it. They didn't do that, oh, yeah, whatever, I met her. You know, like, he was just like, oh, she might want to get her out of here then.
Get her lost. Yep.
Anyways, but yeah, so she basically, her husband was in the military and died, and she's sad because he's not home. And so
he's dead.
And so my thought process is, yeah, he's dead. My thought process is that when she crashed into the telephone pole, she's trying to kill herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end, he walks in, finds her naked in her bed, but she's overdosed on pills.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But she goes off to the hospital, and his ex-girlfriend goes off with her to make sure she's okay, because Nolan's like, she shouldn't be alone.
But I don't want to be near this crazy bitch.
Yeah. It was a good episode, though.
Yeah.
We get to see Bradford with his wife.
Yes, and she was sober.
She was sober, and she's trying to do that 12-step make amends thing. And he wasn't... She wanted to try to make things work between them, and he was realistic to the point of, like, it will never work between us because I am the reason why you used. I'll always be the memory of the time you used, so you can't be around me.
Yep, and she made a good point of basically saying that, you know, he always sees everything in absolutes. He's already made up his mind.
Yeah.
It's black and white. And, you know, he can't see anything else. And that's what drives her nuts.
And he's basically, his response is like, shouldn't everyone see things in black and white?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thinks everyone should see things the way he does.
Yeah.
So he goes to the dispatcher girl. Runs into her in the hallway or whatever. And she, like, offers to, like, go get a drink with him or something.
No, she had some reports to do.
No, she was going to Nolan's party.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then she's like, but if you want to do something else, we can. And he said no. And then he went back and he was – and this is what I actually liked about this. I thought this was great because he was crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically said, this is a very platonic thing. I just don't want to be alone tonight.
Yep.
But can we just go someplace and have a drink together and just talk?
Yep.
He, you know, like, spelt it out directly. He didn't lead her on. He didn't mislead her. He didn't make her think something might happen.
I think that's good writing.
Happen.
Yeah.
I think.
Dude, it's Sarah Rue. Why wouldn't something happen?
I think something's going to get misconstrued. Probably. But anyways.
And then we could have a sexual harassment kind of thing. Or
I hope not. In my life, I was crystal clear with someone once about something. Eyes.
Mm.
Yeah. She didn't believe me, apparently. I don't know. But regardless.
Some people, it takes a while before they believe you.
Yeah. But when you're crystal clear about something, I mean, like, you know, I am not looking for a relationship. This is platonic. You know what I mean? Like,
they'd probably like it more if you said platonic. Because that's the real word. Plutonic. Pluto isn't even a planet anymore.
Plutonium.
Yeah. So you're saying it's nuclear?
Yep.
Okay.
Anyhow, that was a good episode, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this show. I like the writing on it. I like the characters. I even like the T.O. there and her new lawyer boyfriend. I liked how they met a couple episodes back. And I liked the exchange here where, like, he got arrested. And she's like, oh, I can pull some weight to get you out. And he's like, good, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know what? Keep him in there.
Because she made the comment of, like, but you don't have the right to do this. And he was like talking to her like she was a cop. He wasn't talking to her like, you know.
Mm.
And then later on, she looked through her phone. She looked through his phone and she said, yeah, I looked through your phone. And she goes, oh, and he's like, oh, you illegally searched my phone? And she's like, he basically goes like, no, I looked at your phone like a jealous girlfriend would look at your phone. Yep. Not like a cop would. There's a difference.
Uh-huh.
So. But anyhow, yeah.
George, a good doctor?
Was that back?
Yep.
What happened?
It was interesting. They had...
It didn't pop up on my thing. Like, I had watched...
Maybe I watched an older one, but this was the...
What nights... Is it on Thursdays? Because if it's on Thursdays, it's probably why I didn't see it. Because I watch shows on Thursdays on my tablet, and I caught up, like, I watched The Kids Are Alright. I love that show. It's a really good show. Mm-hmm. They did a little Rodney Dangerfield kind of homage to him today with one of the kids. His stand-up act was kind of just a ripoff of, like, what Dangerfield... Rodney... Did I say Dangerfield? Yeah. And his dad just absolutely loved it. So, of course, he wants to do more because everyone just wants to please their dad on the show. Anyways, doesn't matter. It was a good episode where they did the draft. The birthday draft. Like on This Is Us. You didn't see that episode?
I did, but it's not ringing any bells.
So when they did the draft for Vietnam, they drew your birthday everyone's birthday.
Okay. I thought you were talking like a birthday party.
So like one of the brothers on the show, his birthday got pulled for the draft. And then the other brother on the show, the one that had gone to college and then he had gone to seminary school and then dropped out, he was no longer kid deferment. He was drafted, just drafted. So they got the notices on the same day. So that was kind of interesting. Because it's been a soul comedy show and all of a sudden it took a real hard turn.
Huh.
With this. Kind of like Scrubs could be real serious. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I apologize. Good doctor.
I was going to say, weren't we just talking about somebody in our life who ask a question and then just immediately start talking about their own thing?
Yeah, we were. We were.
No, this was the one where there was a girl who had like a really deformed face.
Yes, I did watch that episode.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was last week's maybe.
It might have been. I might have been.
I did watch that episode. Okay. I don't know why we didn't talk about it last week.
The side story with Sean and the doctor getting
after
high.
We recorded.
Oh, that's probably it.
Yeah. This episode was fucking tremendous. Like, not for nothing. Seriously. It was great.
Because basically it started off with a girl who was essentially a cheerleader. Horrific car accident. She'd been laying down in the back seat. Wasn't wearing her seatbelt.
Yeah.
They tried to rescue her. She was brain dead. She wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they had this other girl who had what, a horrible car accident or when she was younger, she had been playing with her father's gun.
Yes.
And her face was...
She got shot in the face.
Yeah. And so, like, they had done a lot of reconstructive surgery, but she had, like, an elephantitis mask, basically.
Yeah. I mean, she had, she'd had so many surgeries, but she still was very deformed.
Yes.
And
so they said that, essentially, they could take the face off of, I know.
Dude, face off. Face off.
Just put me in the face off machine, take off my face, give me somebody else's face.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
But they could do a face transplant.
Yep.
And
that they had to get the mother to sign off on.
Yeah. And at first she was like,
the mother of the brain dead.
Yes. I don't want my daughter's face on somebody else.
Right.
Of course, aptly timed elevator ride where she sees the girl that's going to get the face and then she consents. And I love later on when she said, good timing on that elevator ride. Mm. Like she, you know, and it makes a point saying, I saw what you were doing there.
But they also had a really good moment where she was sitting there and she was talking to the doctor about how it was her fault. She's like, I'm the one that wanted to go that early and she was tired and I told her she could lay down in the back seat.
Oh, yes.
And she wasn't wearing her seatbelt. And the doctor's like, it wasn't your fault. You couldn't have controlled that.
Yeah.
And the father of the deformed girl goes, no, she's right.
Yeah.
You need to shut up, basically. Yeah. He's like, because that was my gun.
Yeah.
And I tried to keep it separate. I tried to keep it safe. I told her about the dangers of guns. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm still responsible for that. And I know exactly what you're talking about because I feel like it's my fault that this happened to her.
Yes. And that's exactly what it was. He's sympathizing with her because he's blamed himself what happened to his daughter. So he completely understands why she's blaming herself.
He's like, when you're a parent, that's your only job is to protect your children.
And I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. And so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so basically he was telling her, you killed your daughter, but it was done in a way that he was just justifying what she had said, vindicating her.
Good writing.
Yeah. Again.
Like, you're right. You killed your daughter. That's what I did to my daughter.
Yep.
That was my fault.
Yep.
Good writing.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Okay. I don't know the science behind all this, but her face is deformed because she blew big chunks of it out. Mm. So to do a face transplant, I mean, they had to have reconstructed underneath her face.
Yeah.
You know, so there's probably a lot of metal or plates or whatever in there. How is that? I guess it would graft just fine. I don't know.
Fine for Castor Troy.
Yep, it did. His brother, Castor Pollux.
But then they had a B story, which was Sean and his mentor there, you know, the guy that took him in, getting high and going on a road trip with an Uber.
Yes.
First to get snacks.
Like, not Moon Pies. Is it Moon Pies?
Malamars.
And then, secondly, to go apologize to a girl because he wrote a bad comment in her yearbook.
Which, you've summed it up very briefly, but it did play out rather well the way that they did it. Because at first, it was just... They weren't experimenting. He got the medical marijuana in edible form because he was in pain. And Sean said that he had heard that it could help with autism and, you know, the kind of things that he feels, so he wanted to try it.
Yeah. And
then they got the munchies and they called an Uber to go get Malamars and they couldn't find Malamars. And Sean had like this whole 57 stores that they could check. And the woman's like, this seems like I'm taking advantage of you.
Yeah, she's like, they're like, don't worry about it. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then when they bring up, like, how he wants to go see this girl or whatever, she's just like, all right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, you know, clearly this is more than just about – because this is clearly more about just Malamars. He's like, you're right, it's not. It's about this girl because this was her favorite snack and yada, 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 yada. So they find her and go and see her. And I like the part where it's like, do you think she'll be home? Yes, of course she's home, Sean. I called her before we got here.
Yeah.
I kind of like that because it took away this, like, it was like, that's hilarious.
Yep.
And they go in and they talk and he makes a comment about it. And she's like, I don't remember anything about a yearbook. And then, of course, she goes and takes it off the shelf.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he, I don't know what he wrote because she crossed it all out. So.
Yeah. No, he had said what he wrote.
Right. But she had crossed it all out in the yearbook.
So you don't know if it was really that.
It'll be interesting to see if she comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, Sean admits that he's not okay with Leah's relationship.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Which was a big step for him as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was good.
Blacklist? General Shiro?
If it was on last Thursday, no.
Okay. I won't say any more, except that I will say two things. One, in court, they're doing jury selection.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because the last episode I watched is when he went... Yeah, the ethicist.
Yep.
That was the last one I saw. Yeah.
So, court, they're doing jury selection, which, as you can guess, is...
Awesome. I'm sure it's hilarious.
And this special guest star, Cousin Larry Appleton.
Oh, Cousin Larry?
Yes.
Is he the general? No, General Shapiro's got to be an Asian guy.
Correct. But yeah, I was like, oh, it's Cousin Larry Appleton. I know him. I remember him and Balky Park Talking Moose. You're the worst?
Yes, I did watch. I actually I watched You're the Worst tonight when we got back from Canada. I watched it on my tablet.
This is another good
with my earphones
good
in.
Episode.
Yeah, this was I wondered how and I was very anxious to see how they were going to come back after Sean got head from the florist. Not Sean.
you're crossing over with a good doctor.
I really am, because Sean wouldn't get head from the floor, so I'm assuming I'm the good doctor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That is unsanitary.
Who it doesn't
brush your teeth?
It seems highly inappropriate.
Jimmy.
Jeez'em crow. So Jimmy got, you know, head from the florist.
The episode before that.
Yes, the episode before, and I was wondering how they're going to handle that. And basically, he just kind of tries to ease his own guilt by saying to Gretchen, hey, you should just fuck as many people as you want this week.
Let's take a week off where the two of us...
Yes.
They call it fuck week, and she's just...
No, like, she goes, oh, you mean fuck week? Oh, yeah. All right, here's the rules. Yeah. And then she lays it all out.
She's like, you know, it starts at this time, it ends exactly at this time.
Yeah.
You know... She had a bunch of other stuff. No unprotected sex because, you know, but I mean, yeah. And he's just like, should I be concerned that you've done this before?
Yeah.
See you later.
But essentially she gets sidetracked with work because Knock Knock comes in and she thinks it's going to be an easy sign, but it's not. And so she's got to do all these hoops to jump through and yada yada, and then Lindsay's having problems with the band and yada yada yada. And
except finally, she's not. She's actually really good at what she does.
Right, but they just don't like her because they tanked her. Their new single, which sucked, they tanked. She tanked. And they were pissed at her for it. But anyways, I like how they showed us kind of like the first week of from Gretchen's side and then the week from Jimmy's side. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, Jimmy, it appears Jimmy's out nailing chicks, but in fact, he's faking the whole thing. You know, he faked lipstick on his own collar. He paid a prostitute to give him a hickey. I mean, he's been working. And it's hilarious because when they show Jimmy and it shows, like, Monday, he's like, and, like, some woman recognizes, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. Do you mind if I sit down? Nope, I'm working. I have a deadline.
Yeah.
Like, he completely passes on her. And I'm like,
he's a good boy.
Right, because he's a good guy now. But anyhow, yeah, so he's been faking it all week.
Because he wants her to go out and cheat so that he'll feel better.
Exactly. And she's been too busy working all week to actually cheat.
Not only too busy working, but like she told Lindsay at one point, she's like, you know, I should be excited about this, but really all I want to do is go home and tell Jimmy about it.
Yeah.
You know, she's really – and Lindsay even says, you know, at one point, she's like, I don't want to go – they're making out with two guys in the bar. And she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready for my forever dick.
Yeah.
So – they basically have that come to Jesus moment where they're like, you know what? We're done whoring around. We're done macking on generic guys.
And so on Saturday, so like Jimmy goes out one night and he takes some old old E that he found in his pocket. And he wins the last weather jacket. I don't know. Oh, hey, my Zoom, which is like Microsoft's version of an MP3.
Yeah.
But it gives him, makes him sick, and he just vomits and passes out in the bathroom from being sick. Shows up the next morning, and he's just horribly sick. But she, again, thinks he's been out all night.
Yep.
Fucking.
Because he posted a picture to Instagram of his own butt in lingerie.
Yeah, exactly. Because, again, he's been faking everything that's happening. And so Gretchen finally goes out. And Jimmy finds out he's jealous, and she allegedly hooks up with a rando, but we don't see it or whatever.
Right.
She says that she did. And he's like, she's like, but you know what I found out? I don't want that. I just want you. I only want to be with you. And he's like, all right, well, I just want to let you know I didn't hook up with anyone all week. What? He tells her he's faked it. She's like, but I just had sex with a guy. Now we're not even, or something like that. And
yeah.
He's like,
oh, yeah, no. We're going into this marriage uneven.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, we are, because I got fellatio from the florist. He doesn't tell her the whole story of how he went to the,
right.
You know, he was in the mosh pit, and he was getting banged around, and that he, you know, I think if he would have told the whole story, it would have been differently, but I guess ultimately at the end of the day, cheating's cheating.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't matter. However, with those two, it's different,
because
they are the worst. you know, I know I heard the lyrics before this theme song where it's basically, I'm going to leave you anyway, said over and over again, but different tones.
Yep.
And I really get that feeling like you're watching, like, I want this, for whatever reason, I want this relationship to succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I do.
Yep.
And the show starts out with, like, you know, him at the house and everything's been out. And, like, you see the outlines on the walls where the pictures used to be. And, you know, he's by himself. And that's really the only
hint
that you see of where they're going to be. And then it goes, you know, and then the theme, I'm going to leave you anyway or whatever, but regardless. So Gretchen's pissed and she cuts this big promo about how happy she is that we're both alike, like lying pieces of shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I fall in love with a guy who's just as big of a lying piece of shit as I am.
Yeah. And you could tell she's trying hard not to cry.
And so she's, I'm going to bed. And she walks off and he's kind of smiling like, okay, good, good. Everything's fine.
Yeah, because she goes to bed and she's like, you know, love you, honey.
Yeah. And then he's like, at the last second, he's like, oh, wait, no. And then it cuts to credits. So I don't know how many episodes are left this season.
Can't be many. Three or four.
I feel like not too many, but it's a great show.
Yeah.
And,
you know what else is a great show?
What?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, so I don't know if I explained this. We tried to watch it, like Kate and I did. Mm-hmm. We tried to watch it. We started from the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of agree, it's stupid comedy.
Mm.
Like, it's not like well-refined comedy like I Met Your Mother or Scrubs or...
I've gone back and watched How I Met Your Mother several times.
I have too.
All the comedy isn't that great on that.
No, it's not.
If you really look at it.
But
And I'm not trying to justify it by dissing another show.
But, like, I like all the characters so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to watch the show and establish my like for these characters. And except for the new captain, I just don't.
Raymond Holt.
Yeah, I don't care for any of them. Like, the main character, like Andy Samberg's character. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So it's hard when the lead character you just can't get behind. So does he change and stop being such a, like, idiot?
Yep. He's actually brilliant.
Maybe we need to, like, I can tell from the way, you know, he is a great detective, but it's like why I didn't like Psych.
Okay.
Like, I liked Psych for the fact that he had, like, that Sherlock Holmes-esque thing, mm-hmm. but instead of just being like, no, I'm really brilliant and good observance. Oh, no, I'm a psychic, and it turned me off completely.
Gotcha.
So it's almost doing the same thing with his Brooklyn 99. Like, I can tell he's a great detective. I can tell him and his partner go at each other. I get that part of it, you know? But there's too much, I don't know, I guess stupid comedy that I'm just not digging it.
That's too bad.
So we tried to watch it, and Kate's like, I just can't watch this. And she kind of walked away. So I'm going to try to watch it.
Okay.
So.
Excuse me. I still give it a hard sell.
There's 6 episodes of You're the Worst Left. It looks like 7 episodes.
Oh, wow.
So I know you do. Should I skip ahead?
No.
No? No. I'll try. When I have time, I'll try.
All right. That's all I can ask.
Yeah. Because I saw the commercial. Like, I thought, I was like, oh, well, those two have come a long way. Because now, like, the partner he hated, now they're getting married.
Amy Santiago.
Okay, because they did have this thing where they were, like, on some sort of stakeout together, and they're in the park, like, in the commercial. And it made me laugh really hard when they were just like, we're here on a work thing. Yes, this is completely, like, and they're trying to deny they were in a relationship mm-hmm. or liked each other, that this was here for work purposes or whatever. I don't know. I can't remember the exact verbiage. I did find it funny. And I was just like, ugh, maybe that's why I guess Jonathan gets better.
It does. It honestly does. Like, no show is great.
No. Usually the first season does suck. But like
you look at the first season of Scrubs versus later seasons, yeah. and it's still good, but boy, it looks older and it feels older.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I say stick with it. Try to stick with it.
I was going to try.
I watched the first episode of the TBS limited series Miracle Workers. Steve Buscemi is God. Daniel Radcliffe is an angel. Basically, God's become disillusioned with Earth. He's tired of all the shit that's going on. He's bored. He's irritated with the way that everybody's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's also just kind of eccentric and dumb. So he decides he's just going to blow up the Earth. He's done with it. He's tired of it. And and the angels don't want that to happen, obviously. So the new girl and Daniel Radcliffe make a bet with him because God likes to bet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll bet you a hundo this doesn't happen, he says, stuff like that. So they make a bet with him that they can answer one of the impossible prayers. Because, see, Daniel Radcliffe shows you how there are prayers where, like, you know, a woman's like, please, I can't find my keys. Where are my keys? And so he sits there and he'll remove one snowflake at a time from where they are in the snowbank until she finally sees it. That's a completed prayer, because you can't just have the keys magically appear in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. And it's tedious, but that's part of the humor of it. So they agree that they'll take one of these impossible prayers that can't be done and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And if so, he's going to spare the Earth. It's a limited run series. It's kind of amusing. It's half an hour.
Did you watch any of the Umbrella Academy?
6 episodes.
I haven't watched any.
Okay.
I just curious if you, because like you hadn't watched any of The Punisher yet, right. Which was canceled.
Yep, as was Jessica Jones.
Which I didn't see that at all, that it was, but hopefully Hulu picks them up. Honestly, I don't care about Jessica Jones. I want to bring back Daredevil, Punisher, and Iron Fist. Did you watch, I can't remember, did you finish Punisher? Watch any of it yet?
Not any of it yet.
Okay, all right.
I will say this about Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It kept me hooked so that I wanted to keep watching it. Like I said, I'm 6 episodes in.
30-minute or hour-long?
Hour-long.
Okay.
The basic concept is they tell you right in the beginning, and if you've seen the trailer, you know it.
Yes.
On this one day, 47 women around the world miraculously gave birth. And they show one of them, like, she's in Russia, and she's perfectly fine. She jumps into a pool, and suddenly a pool of blood comes around her, and she comes up, and she's pregnant, like, giving birth. Yeah. She was perfectly fine before that. This guy adopts seven of them. And you get to see flashbacks and present day.
Yeah.
But there were seven of them. Six of them have superpowers. The seventh one does not.
Yep.
Her name is Vanya. He gave all of them just numbers. So you're number one, you're number two. And one of them actually never got a real name. So he is just referred to by everybody as five or number five. And they each have these superpowers, and he created a superhero team. But he was brutal to them.
Yep.
And mean, and ran them into the ground and created a robot mother for them. That was Mother. She was in charge of giving them names. So that's why they have names like Luther and Vanya and stuff. But to him, they were just number one, number seven. But their weird powers, like one of them, Luther, just has super strength. Mm-hmm. One of the there's two girls. Vanya has no powers. The other one was known as the Rumor because she could alter reality just by telling lies. So, like, they showed early on, they showed a bank robbery, and she walked up to one of the robbers, and he's like, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I heard a rumor. You shot your friend." And he just turns around and shoots his friend. So, when she lies, reality becomes what she says it is.
Okay. That sounds very dangerous.
Yeah. They're all grown up, and they came back together because Dad just died, and they come back together for the funeral. One of them is dead. He had some kind of power that had to deal with demons or something. They have not talked about how he died. They have not talked about...
Wow, six episodes in, they haven't touched on it yet?
Correct. But I read up on the comic book a little bit, and apparently it was never talked about in the comics either. It was just that he was dead.
Okay.
The coolest one, though, is number five. He had the power of teleportation,
right,
short distances and stuff, but he trained it so that he could actually jump through space and time. So he was time traveling, and he's come back to tell them that the world is going to end in 8 days.
Oh, is 8 days June 2nd, 2024?
No.
No, okay.
I don't want to give a lot away, but I really strongly recommend this show. It's weird and unique.
It is what I plan on watching.
It gives me some vibes of The Haunting of Hill House.
Ooh.
Just because the set pieces are very similar, the mood is kind of similar. It's not haunted, but it's a darker show, and it's a family coming back together, and none of them really like each other. They all kind of went their own separate ways.
Hey, anytime someone says Haunting of Hill House, I immediately think of the bed neck lady reveal, and just,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, I ended at the sixth episode, and honestly, there was a lot that happened at the end of the sixth episode that I should have kept going, and I was like, no, I want to give myself something to...
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
How many episodes?
10.
Okay. So four.
Yep. But I'm really enjoying it, and I strongly recommend that you check it out. The time travel aspect is really getting interesting.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool, cool, cool. So, This Is Us.
Yeah.
Did you watch Sandberg Road Part 2?
I did.
Kate's given up on the show. She's passed on it.
Yeah.
So I did watch that. Basically we get part two, what happens with Nikki. We see a flashback, and ultimately the biggest thing that happens is Mom shows up to talk to Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki's like, "Look, I don't know any of you. Like, right. I knew about you, but I don't know any of you.
You come in here and you're talking about family, and that's just not who you are to me."
Right. Which, I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, he does try.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know, like, he tells Kevin, he makes Kevin fix his leaky roof, or he asks him to, and then he says he'll try to make it to one program, one time, at least once at the veterans clinic or whatever.
Right.
And he goes, "I can't guarantee I'll go to two, but I'll go to one."
Yeah.
And so, but Kevin drank again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty big.
So his sobriety didn't last very long.
Nope.
But in typical Pearson kid fashion, you know, they all get Nikki together and they all, like, get him out of the house. And he's just like, "I like my house. I like my place. I don't want to be out in the big world. It frightens me." So they get him out, and then
Kate's got to fly back.
Yeah, because she's got, you know, baby appointments. And Randall's like, I just took over as a selectman. I got to get back, too.
I just won an election. I got shit to do. Yeah.
But then they do the dumbest thing.
They leave Kevin in charge?
No. I mean, that's pretty dumb. But, you know, he basically mouths off with them. And he's like, you know, this is supposed to be a family thing. Yeah. You know, the Pearsons, and we're doing this. That's when Mom shows up. She's like, I'll be a stand-in. But they're like, we've got to get home. We've got to, you know what? We're not that far from the area of the house that we grew up in that burned to the ground.
Yeah, let's go look at the house that we used to live in that's not our house anymore.
Yeah, it's just a plot of land. And, you know, we'll go harass these people who live here now and tell them that, you know, we used to live on this plot of land in a different house that burned to the ground. And, you know, we've got all these memories of, you know, a place that doesn't exist anymore. And basically they're kicked out of the house. The people are like, at first they're like, oh, yeah, come on in. And then they're like, no, you need to leave.
Yeah, like, we got to go. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of weird. But basically the long and the short of it, though, is like, Kate's memory of that day is of all the happy, cheery, fun stuff that happened.
The sequin fight and Pearson pizza.
Yeah. Whereas Randall's memory of that day is those fun things, but also this other stuff that happened that Kate kind of blocked out.
Like Dad flipping out because he had just come back from visiting Nikki and didn't know what to do with himself.
Throwing a plate against the wall and yelling at them and...
Didn't want to be around them, just wanted to be in the other room.
Yep.
Kept telling them to go do their own thing. And
yeah, just order pizza. I don't care. You know, just...
Mom went to get a rookie baseball card signed with Kevin, and he was an obstinate little shit. To the point of her being like, look, we've been in line forever. We need to go get some lunch. And he was like, no, I can't. I gotta get inside.
First of all, I agree with Kevin on this. If you don't spend 2 hours standing in line just to leave the line to go get lunch and come back after.
Absolutely. But... The moment he, like, threw himself down on the floor, I'm like, oh, what a little fucktard.
And then she's like, fine, I'll go get us some lunch and I'll bring it back.
Which should have been her plan.
But here's the thing. Mom shouldn't have been like, oh, Kevin, we've been in this line for 2 hours. Let's just leave the line and come back. Let's just go get some lunch and come back. It's no big deal. He'll be here. No, Mom, this is why we're here. Yeah. You fucking stay in line.
This was the whole purpose.
You know, like, Dad would know that this is what's going to happen, and we would stay in line until it was done.
Yep.
That's a problem when you have a replacement parent doing something. Sincerely, like...
But she wasn't a replacement parent.
No.
She was his real parent.
No, what I mean is... Okay. I'm the kid's real parent, but, you know, there's certain things that I do with them. There's certain things, like, Melissa does with them, or Kate, or Jay, or whoever it is. And when that other person does that same thing that they typically do with a different parent with them, it doesn't go the same.
Right.
You know?
So you mean like when Melissa takes them to wrestling?
It's never going to happen. Never will happen. That's my thing.
So I'm glad we got through this episode, but...
Yeah, it was a little rough.
I'm ready to get back to some, you know, traditional... Apparently this upcoming one, or the one most recent one that I haven't watched yet, I saw a thing that said, finally, This Is Us gives Beth the focus in an episode. I was like, oh, good.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I still really like the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't dislike it by any means.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, it's been a while since she's got any attention.
Yeah.
Project Blue Book. Okay.
That was me shaking my head while yawning.
Yep. So I watched the most two recent episodes, The Green Fire, well, The Foo Fighters.
Mm.
Did you watch that one?
No, but it's on my DVR and I'm very interested.
It's really good. And then The Green Fireballs. Literally, it's called The Green Fireballs. And the hell is his name?
Littlefinger?
No. It's the guest star in this week's episode, Michael something. He was on Micro Imperioli is a guest star.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It's kind of neat. This one involves Little Green Men, the Green Fireballs, I mean. Little Green Men was an episode of The X-Files. The Green Fireballs is a mysterious Green Fireballs nearly caused nuclear disaster in a weapons test, and of course they're going to investigate it. And then the other one is... by like a secret group who have claimed to witness strange lights during combat, which is these Foo Fighters thing. And again, this is all based on actual shit, which is kind of cool. Now, I know when you watch it on the History Channel, it happens at the end.
Yep.
On mine, I have to go to the extra, because we watch it on the app, I have to go to the extras feature to watch it. It's cool. I like that they have those. I like the fact that they talk to Hynek's son on some of these, where you know, and he gives his, like, oh, you know, Dad talked about this, or he didn't, or whatever. I don't know. I enjoy that. Can't think of anything else I watched show-wise.
Nothing else for me show-wise. I had a couple of movies, some trailers, and some news.
I don't think I watched any movies.
Really?
Yeah, I had a lot last time, I realized, but I didn't... From last time when we recorded to this time, I did not get a chance to watch much. And then with the Wi-Fi being down at work, those couple nights, I couldn't, like, catch up on the CW shows. And
right.
Just at home, I haven't had much of a chance.
I did watch the not the most recent... Well, no, tonight would be the most recent. So I watched the most recent Flash, which was Cause and Excess.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that one, though, once you've watched it.
Okay. So, movies, what'd you watch?
I watched 75% of a movie called I Feel Pretty.
Is that the one with Rebel Wilson?
Nope. Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Basically, she, you know, sees pretty people all around her, and she feels that it's unfair, and she has some very plain friends, and, you know, she's a plain girl. And then one day, she slips and hits her head, and when she wakes up, she doesn't look any different, but in her mind's eye, she does. Oh, she was in a spin class. She fell down off her bike.
Yeah.
And then her ponytail got caught up in one of the girls' spokes. slammed her head back. So, but it's like she wakes up and suddenly she sees herself as gorgeous. You never get to see what she sees herself as, but she, like, walks around like she's gorgeous. She's like, oh, my God, you should be so lucky to have this ball. Like, she enters a bikini contest and stuff like this, but she can't be deterred. She honestly thinks that she is beautiful now. And she's kind of a dick about it. I only got about 75% of the way through. Now, why am I still watching this? Because it's Amy Schumer's comedy is not my cup of tea all the time. Sometimes she's okay, but
I'm trying to think. What was the movie with Jack Black where he like
Shallow Hal
hit his head? And he just saw people for what he thought they.
No, it was Tony Robbins hypnotized him.
Ah, okay.
Because the key phrase that he gave to Jason Alexander to snap him out of it was Shallow Hal found a gal.
Yeah.
And he saw Gwyneth Paltrow as Gwyneth Paltrow when she, in reality, she was like 300 pounds or something.
Yeah, and then he went to the burn unit and saw these burn kids, but he was like, these kids look great. They look healthy. I don't understand this.
Yeah. Yeah. I drew some parallels there as well. One movie that I watched that was very long, but actually really good. I really enjoyed it. Molly's Game. Have you seen this one?
No, but I saw... Did you watch it on what?
Cinemax, I believe. Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Idris Elba. I haven't looked up the full thing on it, but it's based on a book written by Molly Shea. Or Molly Bloom, sorry. And it has a very Rounders feel to it, which I love.
She's the gambling thing, yes.
Yes, and she's basically been indicted for running an illegal gambling operation.
Yeah.
And she's written a book about it, and this movie tells her story. And it's really good. Like, she narrates a lot of it. Like I said, it's very much reminiscent of Rounders, which I love Rounders.
Yeah.
I think it was a great movie. But you've got her constant narration. What's that?
Rounders was a great flick. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the Oreo cookie scene. He finally figured out the guy's tally,
yes,
you know?
Yes. Yeah. Teddy.
Yeah.
Russian Teddy. It's her narration. It's her story. Watching the things that she did, the ways that she rose up. It's really well done. And I realized afterwards, like, I was like, boy, this seems really good. I really like this. And then they said an Aaron Sorkin film. And I like his work on the West Wing and the Newsroom. And so... Yeah, I recommend this one. It's a drama, but it's really well done. I strongly recommend you take the 2.5-hour runtime and sit down and check it out at some point. Or maybe a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that I watched was on Netflix, I watched the Ken Jeong's comedy special,
You Can Bleep
Me Ho. It was really good. His wife's name is Ho. She's Vietnamese. He makes lots of jokes about that. He's like, I got a Vietnamese wife. Her name is Ho. That's comedy gold right there. He's like, I get the jackpot. He's like, I need dinner, ho. Where's my food, ho? He goes, the jokes write themselves constantly.
Nice.
But he talked about his career and how he was a surgeon working at Kaiser Permanente. And
he was really a surgeon?
Yeah, legitimately a surgeon. A general practitioner. Because he talks about that too. But then he made friends with Judd Apatow, and
just doesn't seem like it. He just seems like such a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
A goofball, I mean.
He got the job working on The Hangover as Chow, you know, Leslie Chow.
Yeah.
And he makes several references in there to the fact that, yes, that is his dick. When he jumps out of the car and he's waving it around, he goes, yes, that is my tiny penis. I was born with a tiny penis, and I'm okay with that. It's a stereotype, blah, blah, blah. But he said that, you know, after he rapped on The Hangover, he went back to work the next day. And he was working at the hospital, and they had stuff for him to do. And he's like, fuck this. I don't need to do this. I can go be a Hollywood guy. And he went and became a movie star. And it was a good comedy special. Lots of good jokes. He's a very funny guy. But it was also nice to hear his story. So, yeah, I recommend that one.
Good for him, actually.
Yep. Trailers, what you got?
The only trailer I watched was the... I watched the one you sent me for Cloak and Dagger Season 2.
Yeah.
That looks great.
Mayhem is coming. I love the fact that she's not just psycho.
Yeah.
But she's gone back to being a cop.
Yes.
But she's like Dark Enforcer.
Oh, fuck yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Lethal Protector.
Looks great. Looks great.
She just cut a guy's throat with her hand.
Yeah, that looks really good. I watched the document, the trailer for the Motley Crue biopic that's coming to Netflix.
I saw that one advertised a lot today.
Yeah, it looks great.
Does it?
Yeah.
The Dirt?
Yeah, The Dirt, yeah. I mean, the soundtrack, obviously, is going to be
awesome.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that just reminded me. Umbrella Academy has one of the best soundtracks.
Oh, nice.
Dude, it is all 80s music. It is phenomenal.
Nice.
There's a shootout in a store between two armed gunmen wearing animal masks and the time-traveling kid who can jump through space, and it's done to Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. It's just fucking phenomenal. Fucking phenomenal.
I look forward to seeing that.
Dude, the music is half the joy of this show. Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, that's okay. So anyways, yeah, the trailer just looked great.
Awesome.
Yeah, looking forward. Do you have any other trailers?
Yep. Killing Eve Season 2.
When's that coming out?
April, I believe. I'm just going to watch it. It's the same thing with the Season 3 teaser trailer for Santa Clarita Diet.
I was going to say March 29th, yeah. I saw that trailer pop up, and I went, you know what? I'm not going to watch it.
Nope.
I just don't care.
It's mostly wedding vows spliced together from clips of the first show.
Nice.
You know, the whole richer and poorer till death do us part. It's clips from the first two seasons of them saying different things spliced. It's great.
The general feeling I got, because I did catch like a few seconds of the ending because I wanted to see if they had the date.
Mm-hmm.
Is she like trying to say I'll bite you and we can be zombies together?
I don't know. I kind of got that as well.
Okay.
Saw a trailer for a movie called Long Shot. Hadn't heard about it. Apparently, Charlize Theron is going to run to be the first female president, and Seth Rogen is a guy that went to high school with her and remembers her, and he's a journalist now, and so he wants to kind of help her. It looks like it's got some comedy, some drama, some action elements.
When you said Long Shot, two things popped my brain immediately. One, hockey movie.
Yeah.
Two, sniper movie.
Yeah. I watched a trailer for Love, Death, and Robots. I got to read you the description on this one.
Perfect.
Tim Miller and David Fincher might not seem like the most likely of collaborators, but the Deadpool and Gone Girl directors have teamed up to present Love, Death, and Robots for Netflix. The animated anthology, legitimate, has the potential to be one of the streaming giant's strangest offerings this year, as sedentary dairy products, werewolf soldiers, robots gone wild, garbage monsters, cyborg bounty hunters, alien spiders, and bloodthirsty demons from hell are all on the docket in the 18-part series.
Wow.
And it's all animated, but some of them are like realistic animation. Some of them are cartoons. Some of them are claymation. But it's a true anthology because it's 18 separate vignettes.
Vignettes.
The full roster of stories will cover a variety of adult topics, including racism, government, war, free will, and human nature. The anthology collection spans the science fiction, fantasy, horror, and comedy genres, and each short has a unique animation style from traditional 2D to photoreal 3D CGI. The creators were assembled from a global calling from best-in-class animators in all over the world, including artists from France, Korea, Hungary, Canada, and the U.S., among others. Draws inspiration from the eclectic and provocative comic book material from the 1970s that influenced both Miller's and Fincher's formative interest in storytelling.
Okay.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I can watch that.
And the other trailer that I watched, I'm surprised you didn't, Doom Patrol.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch that one.
Looks good. The new DC one?
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of good things about it. I may try to check it out.
Yeah, I think you should check it out. Brendan Fraser as Mr. The robot man there.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a pretty badass job.
That's actually what I heard.
Matt Bomer is the Negative Man?
Yeah.
Liking it.
Yeah.
It looks like...
I heard Brendan Fraser was killing it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm trying to find this right now, and I can't.
What?
But I saw this thing where David Tennant is going to play...
Good Omens.
Okay.
Dude, we should have been on Password.
I know. I was trying to find
What's it. That movie with Jack Black, Shallow Hal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's playing opposite
that guy.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, not opposite him.
Benedict Cumberbatch is the voice of Satan.
Yes.
And David Tennant is a demon.
Yep.
That's what it was.
And
I was sold on that.
Angel. Oh, yeah.
I was sold
it's
on that.
Based on a Neil Gaiman novel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Michael Sheen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sold on that. John Hamm's in it. Josie Lawrence, Anna Maxwell. Sorry, Anna Maxwell Marin. Anyways, yeah, it's gonna be a BBC. So it should be good.
Yeah, it should.
Nick Offerman's in it.
Love him.
But it was just the fact that it was Benedict Cumberbatch is the voice of God, Satan, I mean, and David Tennant playing a demon. I was like, ooh, I'm gonna watch this.
Exactly.
So the other news I had was Santa Clarita Diet, obviously, March 29th, season 3. Are you afraid of the dark?
No, not really.
Remember the TV show on SNICK?
Yes.
Back when we were kids? It's coming back. Coming back in two forms. First, Paramount and Nickelodeon Studios are teaming up to make a movie. It comes out October 4th, 2019.
Wow. That's
yeah, quick. Yeah, and also Nickelodeon is doing a mini series that also is coming out in October 2019. Kenan Thompson,
yes,
is going to produce it.
Nice,
and it will have the same format as the original. Midnight Society, Gathering, submitted for the approval of Midnight Society. I give you the tale of the monkey's paw, and they throw the
cool,
the shit in the fire, and it sparks up, and then we cut to the thing. Also, All That is returning this summer. All That was the sketch comedy show that was kind of...
Yeah, that sent Amanda Bynes down the dark path to self-destruction.
Allegedly. She's coming back around, I heard.
She pulled a Lindsay Lohan.
Who?
A Drew Barrymore.
Oh, okay. Something that's still relevant. Excellent. Yeah. Anyways, so I was a big fan of Are You Afraid of the Dark when I was a kid, so I plan on checking it out. You got any news?
I do.
What you got?
Gwyneth Paltrow says she's leaving the MCU. That Endgame will be the last movie that she's in.
Uh-huh.
She feels that she's too old to be suiting up as a hero. She was never a hero. Except in Iron Man 3, but that sucked.
Right.
But yeah, so she said she's definitely down to come back for, like, cameos, but...
Well, and ultimately, unless we have another full Iron Man movie, we don't really need her in a flick.
No, we don't.
Yeah. So that's an okay.
Yep. Now, this is a deep cut. Do you remember Jim Henson's The Storyteller?
Yes.
Okay.
I was coming back. It was a Shelley Duvall, I think, right? And it was an anthology-type show.
Yep. Deadline is reporting that the Storyteller anthology series will be reimagined by Fremantle Media, the Jim Henson Company, and author, TV writer, producer Neil Gaiman.
Oh.
American Gods and Good Omens.
Good Omens, yeah.
Inspired by his daughter Lisa's university studies in folklore and mythology, Jim Henson created the original version of the Storyteller in 1987 and directed multiple episodes with Oscar winner Anthony Minghella writing all the episodes. The Emmy and BAFTA-winning live-action TV series features creatures by Jim Henson's Creature Shop and a retelling of various European folk tales with a mysterious elfin storyteller played by John Hurt. Probably won't be anymore. The world of the Storyteller was inhabited by various mystical and magical characters, heartless giants, enchanted beggars, white lions, and human hedgehogs, exploring themes such as fear, desire, death, and destiny, and challenging notions about good and evil. Written and executive produced by Gaiman, the updated version of the storyteller will create a mystical world combining various fairy tales and folklore. It'll be updated for the binging viewer of today, Gaiman told the outlet. So
that's how people like to watch their TV now.
That's right.
Cool. So, I can find that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And since we talked about it earlier, I think my only other piece of news is we may actually have a legitimate reason as to why Netflix canceled its Marvel shows.
Oh, perfect. Yep.
Put simply, Netflix did not have an ownership stake in any of its Marvel TV series. Each of the six Marvel shows was owned by Disney. Netflix paid ABC Studios a steep licensing fee for each season of its respective series. Nothing too surprising as the above, but certainly plenty of validation for fans and industry figures who always speculated on this being the situation. The article indicates there is indeed a new phase of the entertainment industry gearing up now for full launch in 2020. Studios are scrambling to find ways of owning and distributing their content direct to consumers. So, could be Hulu, could be Disney Plus. But yeah, basically Netflix didn't own any of it, and so they weren't able to make money. They were paying out money.
Now, we're already seeing a lot of movies circumvent, like, Netflix has got a lot of original movies that were, and Hulu has original movies, and now, like, all these streaming services are coming out, like, you know, Disney's coming out with their own, and, you know, we have the CBS All Access, and blah, 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 blah. You know, Stars and HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, you don't have to have cable to have those anymore, right, you know. Right. So, at what point do you think movies aren't even going to come out in theaters anymore?
God, I hope it's soon. I mean, some of them, I like the spectacle. Like, Alita Battle Angel looks like something that you'd like to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
Maybe even with some surround sound or some 3D. Yeah. Like, it looks big and spectacular. The Marvel movies, big, spectacular. Yeah. But a lot of this stuff that comes out, you look at it, like Happy Death Day to You, does that need to be in theaters?
Right.
I just assume it come right to it, not as a shiny box thing, but, you know, make this big budget thing and then let us just rent it at home.
Oh, see, I'm torn by that because I still love going to the movies, and there's certain movies I'd love to go see at the theaters. So like you basically just said, you know, the Marvel movies, Star Wars. I mean, there's just some movies you want to see on the big screen.
Right.
And then there's others, like you said, Happy Death Day, that you don't really need to see on the big screen.
Right. And I don't want to have to sit here and wait for 3 months, 6 months for it to leave the theater and then finally get converted to DVD and Blu-ray and then finally find its way to Redbox. And then maybe HBO before I can watch it. You know, there doesn't – I think the life cycle needs to be reexamined of these things. I know it's come a long way from when we were kids and, like, a movie would come out of the theater and it was, like, a year, year and a half sometimes before it was on
VHS. Especially if it was a Disney flick.
Yeah.
It'd be I remember when Jurassic Park came out. It came out, like, what, June 93 or something like that. And – in November, it was on home video, and it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was still in the theater in Brunswick, you know, locally for us or whatever.
In Castine.
I remember still being in the frickin' at the movie theater still.
Yep.
And now it's out on home video. That was the first, like, that was the quickest push out I'd ever seen.
Yep.
And, you know, and then, like, things have changed over the years, obviously, like, in grand scale. But, like, I talked about last week, might have been the week before, like, our local movie theater. Sunday through Thursday, unless it's a big opening Thursday, they don't have a movie past 7 o'clock at night anymore.
Right.
Only on Friday and Saturday. Maybe that's a winter thing, but, you know, is that the way it's going to be? People just aren't going to go to the movies anymore.
Yep.
Because, like, for years, it's been too expensive to go to the movies.
Yes.
But people are still going. People have still gone, type of thing, you know? Like, the concessions are just outrageous.
Which is the only place that they make money.
Right.
So that's further proof that the system is broken.
Right.
You know? When the movie theaters aren't making any money on the tickets themselves.
You would think they wouldn't price those freaking concessions so damn high. Like, think about it. Would you rather sell a $5, like a $5 popcorn and soda pack to everybody or $27 popcorn and soda pack to one person,
right,
two people?
Well, think about this, too. When was the last time you saw an arcade?
Okay.
They just opened one in the Portland Mall, I know.
Coincidentally, just a couple weeks ago, because we went to Fun Spot. But I had to drive. If I were just to go to Fun Spot, it's a 2.5 hour one-way drive, practically. Right. So, yeah.
And that's not even an arcade. It's a collection of vintage games.
Right. It's an arcade from, like, when we were kids.
Yep.
No, they don't exist anymore per se. I mean, in the summertime, you got Palace Playland and the Funnel-rama.
And you know why?
That's pretty much it.
Because home games made them obsolete. You know, that's where all the money
is. I'd rather go play a video game somewhere.
I get that, and there's some that it would be cool, but as somebody who's heavy into video games, like heavy into video games.
Yeah, you are.
You know, I definitely appreciate all the advances that they've made in the technology and the fact that this is the way that it's gone.
But there's a difference, though. You know, and this is the argument I'm going to give you. It's like you could buy a video game, like for like the what's the most recent game you bought?
I'm trying to think. Probably Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
What a mistake.
It was probably $60.
Yep.
Okay. How many hours did it take you to beat it?
32, 34.
Right. Okay. Are you going to spend $60 on Avengers to watch it at home?
Nope.
Right. And once you watch it once, I mean, maybe you'll watch it a couple more times, but you're going to be Kingdom Hearts, and you might play it again because I didn't do this level, or I'm going to go check this out, or I'm going to try. Oh, I know to do this. You know what I mean? Like, there's a multiple layer facets of the video gaming industry where it's changed. Like, when you went to the arcade and you popped a quarter in Pac-Man, you maybe played Pac-Man for 15, 20 minutes, and you're like, okay, I finally died. If you even played that much,
right?
Realistically. Or like me, like when I play pinball, like if I get a machine and I'm going like crazy, I win two or three free games, I'm walking away before I play all the games because I played the damn thing too long.
Right. Yep.
You know, because I'm, you know, and so there's, I see the evolution of taking video games out of an arcade and bringing them home because of the extent of play.
Yep.
And the length of play.
Right.
And I do get that, but I don't know if movie theaters will shut down forever for good, but
I think my prediction is that it's going to be like video stores.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to slowly be edged out. You know, Redbox is already doing a wonderful thing. If they could get day and date release down, you would see video stores, you would see movie theaters crumble. Okay. The only thing that is keeping movie theaters afloat at this point is the fact that there's these big windows. So if a new movie comes out, you have to see it at the theater.
Right.
If they did day and date release, like they've tried to do many times over the years with different formats, so that something came out in theaters and at the same time it was available on demand, you'd see movie theaters crumble because more people are going to say, why would I spend, you know, $30 on snacks and $30 on tickets for the family when I could just go down to the store, buy a couple of bags of microwave popcorn, and pay $8 for all of us to watch it here at home?
And I think that's why the drive-in still works. Because at the drive-in, you pay like $15 or $20 for a carload of people. And their concessions are not through the roof, but most people bring, you know, all kinds of shit with them to eat. And you sit there and watch a double feature for that price.
Yep.
You know? As opposed to, well, when we went Super. Remember we were going to go to the Nickelodeon to watch Super the day it came out, and then we find out you could get it on demand the same day? I think the on-demand price was like $7.99, and ticket price per person for the four of us that were going to go was like, you know, $7 a person, plus gas money, whatever, so it just made sense just to watch it at your house.
Right.
So that is a very prime example. But like of the date and time, you know, day and date release. But like for me, like, you know, when Avengers Endgame comes out, I want to see that bad boy on the big screen.
Yep. I do as well. New Star Wars movie, I want to see it on the big screen.
But is that going to be enough to keep theaters afloat?
Again, that time exclusivity
is
what's holding them in place right now. Honestly.
I honestly hope, like, I know I don't go to the theaters very often. As much as I'd like to, quite frankly. But, I know I like going to the movie theater. I like watching the movie on the big screen. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the surround sound around because I don't have that at home.
Right.
And I realize now people can buy 70-inch TVs and curved screen TVs and surround sound.
They can buy wall TVs.
Right, exactly. I know people can buy the shit and have it at their home, so they don't need to go to the theater to see it.
They've just
I don't have that.
Perfecting a technology right now. You can buy it in a lot of speaker bars that actually have speakers that are angled up towards the ceiling to give you like surround sound effects by bouncing it off the acoustics in your ceiling. Wonderful stuff. It's amazing stuff.
That's pretty cool, actually. But anyhow, I don't know. Tangent, I realize.
Yeah.
Did you cover all your news?
I did.
Cool. I covered all mine. I guess that's it for this week. We'll talk to you people all next week. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.